You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon, and joining us on The Weekend today are Semele de Aslan and Amalia Mondragon. And my co-host today is Alisa Cardona. Alisa is one of our students here in the Department of Communication. Ladies, thank you all very much for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, first of all, let's start with you, Semele. Tell us a little bit about La Mujer Obrera, because a lot of people have heard of the name, but they're not really familiar with everything you do. And you were sharing with us before the program started. Gosh, things have changed over the years so much.
Well, yes. I mean, most people have heard of La Mujer Obrera because we are a longstanding women's empowerment organization in El Paso since 1981. And so Mujer Obrera's history, goes far back than that, as far as women organizing here on the border, demanding fair wages, demanding, rights in the workplace, because El Paso used to be the maquila industry. We were the jeans capital of the world. And so it's through the work of La Mujer Obrera and their roots in social justice that we have grown to who we are today, 32 years later. One of the things with Mujer Obrera is they really believe that for a community to thrive, the community must be the deciding members of those decisions, right? Like, they need to be at the table.
And since you mentioned earlier about us being the jean capital of the world, for so many years, people will remember that women would work at Levi's or at Farah companies, some of those companies. But because of the maquilas and something else, trade all over the world, a lot of those women were displaced. And so La Mujer Obrera was there to help these women? Is that how
that
it started?
Definitely was a transitional point in Mujer Obrera's organizing work. 1981 is when they started. In the early 1990s, they were involved in organizing around what international trade here would look like. And so, 1994 is when NAFTA got passed, and a lot of those jobs here on the border left, just right over the border, to Juarez. And so it was about restructuring their community, their vision, right? And it's the work of Mujer Obrera why so many women were able to lift themselves up from that point, right? It was Mujer Obrera's organizing work that got us certified, for women transitioning into a different job sector. We had the most layoffs in all of the nation, and that's because we documented it, right? A lot of the workers were sort of left in the shadows across the nation after NAFTA, but there definitely was a huge job loss nationwide, but more so here on the border. And so their work organized the women. They applied for the assistance programs. And then they said, this is about creating something, right? And so a lot of them got training into, GD, English, citizenship, but also how to build their own businesses. We run a daycare, and many women train there. How to run your own daycare. We run a restaurant, Café Mayapan. How to run your own restaurant. So all these things were seeds for the community to thrive and survive the way that they envisioned.
I just wanted to add that, I think the mission here that you're doing is real great. And as I'm sure there are people out there that haven't really heard about you, because to me it's new. How can they contact you and get at you?
Well, we're definitely on social media, Facebook, as well as we have our website, mujerobrera.org. And always come into the Café Mayapan. It's a beautiful space. The restaurant is open 11 to 3, Monday through Friday, and Saturdays 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. And it's some of the most healthy, natural, traditional food that you could get.
Where is it located?
2000 Texas Avenue.
Because you mentioned that before the interview as well, the fact that, you can go to other places around the country, and so you're so used to eating the homemade food and the natural ingredients, is sometimes it's hard to adjust. And it's like, someone who moves to another part of the country and they're used to mom's cooking, and all of a sudden it's not mom's cooking, it's fast food or something else.
Well, it's interesting because even people my age group, 30s, they don't know how to cook a menudo or make tamales. And, there's been a gap in sort of our own cultural knowledge, and for various reasons, whether because, the workplace demands So what we offer as well is traditional cooking classes, and what we're seeing is a revitalization of our culture through cooking. You know, that's a place of resistance, right? If you got a pot of beans cooking, you're doing pretty good, right? Because it's hard. I know, as a working woman, for me to even find the time to cook at home, right? But we're reteaching our community how to do this, why it's important, it's healthier, and it's empowering.
Amalia Modragon is also joining us here from La Mujer Obrera. And Amalia, there's a lot of things going on at La Mujer Obrera, as we just heard. And part of that includes women sharing and with others and teaching the arts and the different arts, not just here in the community, but throughout the region and in Mexico, different parts of the country. And you all have had the opportunity to share that with the community, but not just share, but also show them how to do it and perhaps also even buy some of these things from the women.
Well, what we do also is we just kind of help, like, discover different local artists. And then we do a lot of really, like, fair trade between
Indigenous Women's Network in Mexico. Right. We have over 13,000 Indigenous communities benefiting from our Fair Trade Initiative, which has been recently certified. It's
Can
fantastic.
You explain that for us, the Fair Trade Initiative?
Well, we started a co-op in Mexico with the Indigenous women because what we saw after NAFTA was a lot of Indigenous peoples being displaced. A lot of people throughout Mexico, but that was sort of the worst of. Not only were there lands taken, right, but it pushed migration. At any rate, we thought that, you know, we know that being connected to your land and your community is so important, right? And so how could we help them sustain despite the fact that, you know, everyone is looking for the cheaper product, right? And so through creating this network over the past 10 years, now we are up to serving 13,000 Indigenous communities throughout Mexico, throughout 12 states in Mexico. And we import their items. We sell them at Café Mayapan, at Lumetique. And we're very happy that after all that hard work, we finally got recognized for it last year, and we're certified fair trade members. And so, you know, when you're purchasing, you know, whether it's pottery, dishes, I mean, clothes, toys, jewelry, that the Indigenous communities handmade those with dignity, respect, and pride, and they're getting a fair exchange.
As far as, and I'll get back to Amalia in just a bit, but one of the things that you mentioned earlier was about the food. And before the interview started, you mentioned that it's not just food, it's award-winning food, and some of the best is going to be there.
Most definitely. Well, you know, Café Mayapan has been rated number one as best vegetarian Mexican restaurant in the city for a few years now in a row. We've got a lot of accolades as far as the kind of food that we serve. But, you know, for this celebration that we're talking about this Saturday, today, 3 to 10 p.m., we have our 19th annual Día de los Muertos celebration. And what we're highlighting is not only our artists, our musicians, our cultura, our community, but food. And so we'll have four different types of tamales, Oaxaca, those are the ones wrapped in banana leaf with mole, Michoacán, Veracruz, and Chihuahua. And so we'll have, you know, deliciousness for you all to choose from, as well as a few different atoles. Most people just think there's one, but we'll have at least four there for you to taste. And, you know, we'll have the community come out and build their altars, you know, all week they've been doing that. And so it's a time to come and share your stories. You could come see the beautiful altars. These are all, you know, remembering people in the community, our history, and just partake in this beautiful ceremony that Amalia is headlining along with a few others. Amalia Mondragon, she's our Latin Grammy nominee this year. She'll be heading off to the Latin Grammys in 3 weeks. And we also have Elia Esparza. She was the one who bolted out Selena on NBC's The Voice earlier this month. And Giselle Lopez, she was actually on Telemundo's La Voz. She was, I think, 14 years old when she was on that show last year. And so she'll be joining us, as well as Seba Carambola and Lucia Carmona. And we open the close this celebration and what we like to call ceremony with the Danza Azteca groups here in our community. So we'll open with Danza Azteca Omecoat and close with Danza Azteca Tlanistica.
So Malia, I had a question for you. Going back to the women's empowerment and how you're helping these women, by giving them cooking lessons and teaching them arts. How can women go about this if they want to go ahead and participate? Is there a specific schedule? Do you guys do workshops, or how can somebody access that?
Yeah, we have workshops. I mean, every week. We have our community farm. Mujer Obrera has a community farm that's been around for a few years. Every weekend, mostly Sundays, is when the community comes out at 10 a.m. and they help with the farm. They get some fresh produce. It's a really good way to reconnect with the earth. And we do about a monthly traditional cooking class. We had a mole cooking class last month. We had a tamale cooking class this month. And so we're going to be doing some great cooking classes to prepare you for your Christmas meals, menudo, bizcochos, all those yummy traditional cultural culinary arts. And so, yeah, visit our website and our Facebook for those updates, and definitely support La Mujer Obrera, because we do this. You know, this is a blood, sweat, and tears. You know, we do a lot. It's rooted in justice and in dignity and in respect. And I think of respect to our culture and our ancestors, and knowing that, you know, we come from a very beautiful, intelligent place, and we need to look at our culture and our traditions in order to remember who we are, right?
Amalia, I know that you're a very humble person. You're not going to, but since you already opened the can and let the worm out, we need to... If you wouldn't mind sharing with us about your being a nominee.
Oh, well, it's really exciting. I've been a musician all my life, and it's just been quite a journey. And so I get to go to the Grammy ceremony on the 17th of November, next month. And I'm just really excited to represent El Paso and La Frontera, like, because I'm El Paso, Juarez y Las Cruces, you know. And I really feel that, you know, La Mujer Obrera has been a very beautiful place to like, as a nest. You know, I really feel like I grew a lot through the community, and La Mujer Obrera was a really big part of that. And I feel like it really helps create and expand the musical community in a very saludable manner. Me salen mis pochadas. And so... I'm just really glad to be part of this organization, and really all the people that I've gotten to know, and the community that I've really taken part in. And I really feel supported and loved by the community. And thanks to organizations like La Mujer Obrera, honestly, it's been a very beautiful journey.
And I think there's so many in El Paso, so many women that have that similar story for me as well. You know, being from El Paso and sort of trying to navigate as a woman, you know, and a lot of people talk about our machismo culture. And whatever it was, I could tell you, since I was 15 years old, Mujer Obrera has really rooted me in who I am today. And so, you know, after getting my education, the first place I came back to work at was La Mujer Obrera 6 years ago. And so I've been there since.
You grew up basically around music. Many families, you know, they have an uncle who sings, or a mom, or just, you know, music is played around the clock. So the children learn, and the family is rooted in that. At what age did you decide that you wanted to be a singer, or did you start even since you were, you know, 2 years old, like my kids?
Yeah, I started it since I was tiny, tiny. I mean, I used to write songs to my broccoli. You know, my mom, she'd be like, el que come y canta loco se levanta. But yeah, and so she would always be like, come, no estés cantando. So I would write songs to my chickens and all kinds of stuff. No, and my mom was a singer in Juarez as a young female when she had a trio with her sisters. And they used to sing in las radioestaciones en Juarez. And they had a chance to go on tour with Amalia Mendoza, La Tariacuri, but my grandpa didn't let them. You know, I grew up with a mom who knew how to sing, never formally was educated in music, but she just knew how to tell me what not to do. I mean, I had to always, like, there was just something about music that I felt like it was another language, like French, and I wanted to learn it. And I remember seeing, like, the little symbols on the, like, the notes on the paper, right? And in my head, I was like, wow, I want to learn that language. And I remember middle school came, and I had the option to be in band, and I begged so much. My dad didn't want me to be in it. And he was like, yeah, you're not going to stay there more than 3 months. Ya te conozco. And, you know, and I was like, I promise you I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And I was 12, and I remember, you know, saying it, and I really felt a weight behind it. You know, there's been chances where I could just say, you know, no more music, and it's not something I'm going to die doing music. And I'm like, you know, when I lose my voice, like, yo le voy a zapatear, I don't know, whatever it is, but I'm just going to keep doing it.
Well, what I love about Amalia's voice and music is that she really becomes a voice for the community, right? She shares stories of the border, La Mujer, you know, these get translated through song. And Mujer Obrera has always been rooted in, you know, organizing. And what better way to get people, you know, together than music and the arts? And so Amalia has been so important in our organizing work, not only working with the community, but singing to them and empowering them, knowing that, you know, let's sing in Spanish and English, bilingual, and really lifting up our stories of the border.
Yeah, yeah. La Mujer has really been a really, like I said, it's like a nest, you know, and I see all these new musicians and singers like, you know, like Elia and Giselle, like they... I had never really heard about them, and I feel it's really beautiful to compartir this the escenario with local talent and musicians, singers, and people that are coming out, and it makes me really happy and really proud to see people that are doing stuff, and they come to La Mujer Obrera, and it's just like a very peaceful, non-judgmental, and beautiful nest to just grow, you know, and connect with each other and teach each other and learn from each other. It's just really, La Mujer Obrera has really been a very nutritional organización and place to really grow.
Yeah, I think it's holistic in nature. And just as well with Día de los Muertos, you know, we're lighting the candle to our ancestors, you know, shining light on our past. But we're also shining light on, you know, Los Vivos, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. Like these are the shining stars of El Paso, you know, the mujeres that we invited to be at Día de los Muertos. So Amalia, Elia, Giselle, Seba.
And Carambola. Yeah.
They're amazing, you know, and these are the kind of community members, artists, musicians that we want to lift up and let the community know we're here for you, right? Yeah.
Amalia, I think you bringing the music into our city and sharing that art is really great. And I would like to ask if you can encourage our listeners and other people out there to come together and to support local art, because El Paso has a reputation of not really acknowledging talent here. And I think it would be very important hearing everything that you've gone through, and you're going to go to Latin Grammy, so that puts you at a position to kind of speak out.
Oh, yeah. I highly encourage people, you know. Sometimes it's difficult because, like you say, it is difficult in El Paso, but there are places, there really are places. Like Mujer Obrera is really one of those places that really helps support local art. It really does. And I would say I'd encourage you to seek out to La Mujer Obrera. You know, La Mujer Obrera is open for artists, you know, and it's open for people who really want to talonearle in the music, and not just music, but art and the, you know, like the physical art, like there's classes available, and there's just so much access to meeting people, because I think that's what's the most important part, no? It's not giving up and really meeting as many people as possible. And especially like La Mujer Obrera is a place where a lot of these women are very empowered, and the men as well. We're very empowered. It's a place where, you know, a lot of people, sometimes we get like beat up by the world, you know, and then we show up to places like Mujer Obrera, and they really help strengthen you mentally, physically, emotionally, and artistically. And it's very wholesome. So all the people that are part of La Mujer Obrera, you know, we've all been through some kind of hardships. So we've all come from that brokenness, and then we've helped piece ourselves, you know. And so we become very strong people with a lot of compassion and this mission to help others get on that same boat. And so I feel like it's a very beautiful organization to go to. Like, whatever it is that you do, whether you do art or you're a laborador, or you just can't figure out what you're doing in life, you know, that's a place to go, really. It's a very empowering place. And in toda la gente que está allí, all the people who are there, understand that. And they really help get you on a road to go somewhere, you know.
Yeah, it's a great facility. Cafe Mayapan, 2000 Texas Avenue, Central, the heart of El Paso. You know, you could come and have lunch. You could visit the Lumetique and buy some fair trade merchandise, or visit our museo where we have the history of that community up on the walls, so we could all remember our history, right?
So, Amalia, one of the things that was said earlier about you is the fact that you've reached out to the community, and at the same time, the community has embraced you. There are, as Alisa mentioned earlier, there are a lot of musicians out there, young, talented men and women, but for some reason, they might have somebody like their father or their mother who says, no, you can't do that. And because of the respect they have for their parents, they'll just say, okay. But at some point, that fire continues to burn in the heart, and finally it's going to come out. So because you are part of this organization and the part of the celebration that's happening later this afternoon, tell us about how you went about reaching out to the various entertainers, the various artists, to come in and share with the rest of the community.
How I've done it in the past? Or
have you done in the past, and how did you choose these people in particular?
Oh, great. Well, I'm just kind of very inquieta, you know. I'm kind of everywhere. when I was younger, I started a program for kids, and it was kind of it happened through giving lessons and stuff like that. And so I realized that a lot of my friends, they had children who didn't have access to that. And so I kind of started meeting more people and grew more. And I kind of had access to La Mujer Obrera at that moment. But kind of before that, I was just kind of, I wasn't doing so much community service yet. I was, pero no tanto. And so as I grew, I felt like it was very important to give back because I've had so much support. But I really feel that La Mujer Obrera has really been there, even during the time when I was not so serious. You know, they were like, yeah, there's a place for you here, you know. So places like La Mujer Obrera and are really good spaces to provide these kind of workshops and these kind of education through music and kind of like open to the public who wants to come in and listen. And so, yeah, I'm not sure if that answers your question, but yeah.
I remember the days where you were running around with your accordion and rooster.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, with the guitar, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to play with a rooster. I used to play, and in my band I had a rooster, and he was the cocky one. So he was a rock star. So, yeah, and so I've been through a lot of, a lot of transformations, I feel like, a lot of maturing musically, and really La Mujer Obrera has really been a really fundamental nesting place for growth, you know, very beautiful and wholesome place to grow.
Amelia, I'm sorry to interrupt. I wouldn't want us to finish without asking you, just going back to what Luis said, that a lot of people who feel that fervor, like they say in Spanish, traen la música en la sangre. Mm-hmm. But out of respect to their parents and their peers, they're not, they don't come out and make use of that talent. What would you tell those people that want to grow as musicians, artists? What would you advise them to do?
Well, don't give up, you know? I know it's really terrible to tell you, like, you know, sometimes what our parents want is not the best, you know? It's not that they're trying to do it to like hurt. And I understand my parents really, I've had a lot of, especially from my father. And I understand because the music industry is a very difficult industry and you really have to absolutely love it to the absolute core of your soul because it's very hard, especially as a female. You have to deal with a lot of shenanigans, a lot. But, I would say, you know, you could either sit there and do what you love and suffer through the hardships, or you can do something else that you don't love and wish that you were doing what you love, you know? Mm-hmm. So, de todos modos, you know, you're going to suffer. So, might as well do the one that you love. You know? And so, like, I mean, you don't have to run away or do anything crazy like that, but maybe having serious talk with your parents and more than once, you know? Sometimes they really need to know that it's your passion. And parents, you know, they love us. Like, once you've had the same conversation, it's like an advertisement, you know? If you get presented with the same information about seven times, you usually go and buy it. So it's kind of like, you know, ay, síguele, síguele. Mayúgale ahí hasta que, you know, until your parents say, okay, fine, we'll give it a chance.
And then, buy you a violin.
Yeah. Or, you know, sometimes you don't have that money, and so it's okay to seek out to the community. And the beauty is, like, there's organizations, like, and I know I keep saying La Mujer Obrera, but I really feel like there's organizations like La Mujer Obrera who like, I mean, Semeli, honestly, look, I'm trying to get a boot sponsor for the Grammys. And I told her, dude, I really would love to get some Rocket Buster boots to represent El Paso, mm-hmm. and go out and, like, rock the boots and be like, this is Chuco Town, you know? And she totally just called one of her friends and she just got me one of them, like, sponsored, you know? So I'm really proud and I'm really happy that the community is helping me out, that there's people like Semeli, that there's projects like La Mujer Obrera. And really, like, if you seek the help, there's places to get that help. And if you need a violin, there's so many people that have violins that don't use them and are down to donate, you know? Don't ever give up, ever, ever. There's always a way.
We have about a minute left in the program, so we need to tell people about the event happening later this afternoon. But I think we can't leave without letting the people know where they can go online to hear some of your songs.
Oh, okay. You can go on my Facebook. Right now I'm in the process of recording my first solo album. Previously I was in a group, which is why I'm nominated to the Latin Grammys, with a group called The Chamanas. Mm. And I was the lead vocalist in the album Once Once and the album Once Once Deluxe. And so right now I'm in the process of doing my own stuff, but I have my Facebook, and that's Amalia Mondragon, and that's A-M-A-L-I-A Mondragon, M-O-N-D-R-A-G-O-N. And yeah, you can check me out on Twitter as well. It's I misspelled that one. It's Amalia Mondragon, but you can look me up as Amalia Mondragon. I have Instagram y todo, and I post things that I do live. I do a lot of Facebook lives of my shows and my gigs. And I sing to the people, too, just in the meantime while I come up with my solo stuff. It should be out by February.
Well, they could come out this afternoon. We'll be there 3 to 10. We have a great lineup. Amalia goes around 5 p.m. So make sure to come out to Café Mayapan, 2000 Texas Avenue. This is La Mujer Obrera's 19th annual Día de los Muertos celebration. So we've been doing this a long time, rooted in our traditions. This is probably the most authentic experience you'll have for Día de los Muertos in all of the city. And so we look forward to you coming, and it's free. Open to the whole community. Come dressed up as Katrina, Calaveras, share some poetry, listen to some music, and have the best tamales of your life, really.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
If you want to check the stuff out, I'll be closing, va?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. You go on at 8. That's right.
8, yeah.
And don't be late.
Yeah, and there'll be atole.
That's right, yeah.
Tamales, yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for taking the time to be with us here today. We've been visiting with Semeli Aslan and also Amalia Mondragon from La Mujer Obrera, talking about the big event that they're having this afternoon at La Mujer Obrera and Café Mayapan, and that's 200 Texas?
2,000.
2,000 Texas. And also our thanks to Alisa Cardona for co-hosting this program with me.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, yeah.
The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Felipe Talavera. Our producer is Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Luis Sainz.